Hey, today's shiur is sponsored by Alan and Dr. Marjorie Brown in memory of Marjorie's mother, Leah Bas Yitzchak Zev Leona Ordin, Aleha Shalom, on the occasion of her yard site. Marjorie, thank you for sponsoring today. And the Bite of Torah series, sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz, in memory of Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's father, parents, Eliyahu Ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avraham. In the zchus of our learning together, may all the neshamas indeed have a great aliyah. Okay. Folks, I want to talk today about a pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, which is a great demonstration of two roads, or two roads diverge in a wood. And I took the one that was less traveled by, something like that. Okay, and that has made all the difference. So, at the beginning of our parsha, I'm going to share my screen with you here. I'm having a little trouble with my computer today. Like the buttons aren't responding so easily. So I'm going to try to share my screen with you. But Chumash in front of you, that's always best. Okay. So our parsha is Parshas Bishalach. And at the opening of our parsha, here we go. Right, I have to unshare my screen. Oh, no, there we go. Sometimes when the screen is shared, it doesn't manipulate so easily. Okay. So let's start from the beginning of our parsha. Vayhi Bishalach Paro asa'am lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim. Paro let the people out of Egypt, or he was sending them out of Egypt. And Hashem did not take the Jewish people on a route that would traverse the land of Plishtim, i.e. the Gaza Strip. Kikarevu, because it was close by. Ki amar Elohim pen yinachem ha'am biro samil chama v'shavu Mitzrayim. Hashem was concerned that the people did not yet have the fortitude of a liberated people, and at the first sign of danger, they would turn around and run back to the welcoming arms of their masters. So therefore, Vayasev Elokim Asa'am Derech HaMidbar, Hashem took the Jewish people through a more circuitous route through the wilderness, Yamsuf, through the Yamsuf, the Sea of Reeds, V'chamushim, what we call today the Red Sea, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. The Jewish people left Mitzrayim they were armed. Vayikach Moshe esatzmos Yosef. Now, while all this is going on, you can imagine the hullabaloo, right? A few hours earlier, word came out, it's time to leave Mitzrayim. Now, people have been advised that this is coming up, but you know, it's never the same when the moment of truth actually arrives. And the moment of truth now arrived. And you could imagine the scene in Mitzrayim, you know, mothers packing up their kids and, you know, making sure they didn't leave anything, you know, and just chaos and what's happening and what's going. And, you know, change is always hard. And it doesn't make a difference if that change is a change of happiness. Like, for example, if a child, grows up and moves out of the house and gets married, so a parent is very delighted about that. But, you know, that's a hard change for a parent because a parent feels a certain sense of loss, even though it's a great simcha. So change is always hard. And you can imagine how difficult these moments must have been. Now, in that moment, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Moshe Rabbeinu had the presence of mind, apparently only Moshe had the presence of mind, to fulfill a promise that was made a long time ago. And that's a promise that was made to Yosef, that Yosef made his brother's promise that when the right time would come, his bones would be exhumed and would be taken out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. So if you look at the end of Bereishis, I'm not going to flip on the screen. If you have it in front of you, you can read along. The very end of Bereishis, Vayomer Yosef el Achav, Yosef says to his brothers, Anochi meis, behold, I am dying, and I'm going to die. Velokim pakod yifkod eschem, and God will remember you in the future. Ve'ela eschem in ha'aretz hazos, and you will be taken out of this land. Asher nishbal Avram liyitzchak liyakov, it has been promised to our forefathers. Vayashba Yosef as bnei Yisrael emor, and Yosef made the Jewish people swear. Pakod yifkod Elohim eschem alisem esas mosai mizeh. In the future, when God will remember and the Jewish people, and it will be time to leave Mitzrayim, that you will take my bones with you. V'halisem es atzmosai mizeh. V'yamas Yosef ben Meyam v'eser shanim. Yosef dies, they embalm him, they put him in a casket, and they bury him. Okay, fast forward to our parsha. So we have the whole hullabaloo is going on here, chaos. You can just imagine what's going on in the streets of Goshen. And Moshe has the presence of mind to honor a promise, a vow, that was taken all those years earlier, generations earlier. By ki hashbeah hishbiah es b'nei Yisrael emor, because Yosef had made the people vow, pakod yivkol el klim eschem, alisem esasmo saim yizei etchem. That when God will remember you, you will take my bones out of Mitzrayim. So, there are a couple of issues with this pasuk. Actually, there's one major issue with this pasuk. Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Well, actually, let me ask you: do you find this pasuk to have anything that warrants comment? Any troubling aspect, either in the language or in the content of the pasuk, that you think would, should demand some type of commentary?
I'm not sure because I don't know. Is there any need to say twice?
Okay, so ki hashbeah hishbia, right? The fact that it says it twice, okay.
Right. Same with pakod yifkod, which it says in both places twice.
Right, pakod yifkod. So, just on a pshat level, I'm not saying it doesn't demand additional commentary, but on a pshat level, hashbeah hishbia means you shall surely take this vow, right? An oath shall be taken in a very emphatic kind of way. And pakod yifkod is also, God will surely remember you, right? So it's a statement of emphasis. But beyond that, maybe there is some additional commentary. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, yes.
Go ahead.
So it says, Vayikach Moshe et atzmo imo. So Moshe took the bones with him, but the swearing was for Bnei Yisrael, to take them at
hand. Beautiful, Marjorie. So, beautiful. So Marjorie points out that there's a contrast apparently being drawn here. Moshe is the one who is fulfilling the vow, but the vow was taken with Bnei Yisrael. So what was Bnei Yisrael doing at this time while Moshe was fulfilling, the vow? All right, but to Marjorie's point, there's a contrast going on here, and the question is, what is the what is the contrast that is being drawn here between Moshe and Bnei Yisrael? Okay, before we go on, anybody else? Any other? I can't hear you. Say it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a comment about that.
I'm not taking comments yet. Right now, we're just taking questions and problems before we address anything.
Questions and problems or an answer?
No, we're not answering just yet. Right now, we're just laying out the problems on the table. Anybody have any other problems with this pasuk?
I have another problem with this.
Okay,
pasuk.
Go ahead.
It might have to be with, just like by Yikach Moshe, that's Moshe Yosef, he took it. And then, it sounds like a lot more than taking it. I mean, did he have it with him? He didn't have it with him. So obviously it took a lot more than just like taking it. So that sounded like a little interesting.
Okay. All right. It seems like a bigger job than just for one person. How did he actually accomplish all that? Okay. Anybody else? All right. Let's read the pasuk as follows. Vayikach Moshe satzmos Yosef imo. Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Now, if the rest of that pasuk were deleted, would the storyline be shifted at all? In other words, if it would just say Vayikach Moshe satzmos Yosef imo, he took out the bones of Yosef. And then Vayisu Misukot, and the people proceed on their journey. But what the Torah tells us is that Moshe took out the bones of Yosef, ki, because Hashbeah Hishbias Bnei Yisrael Emor, because Yosef demanded that they do so. Yosef made them take a vow that they would do so. So it sounds like the only reason that Moshe is doing this is because a vow forced him to do so. Absent that vow, maybe he would have just left him there. But the Torah makes a point of saying that Moshe did it ki hashbeah hishbia, because Yosef forced a vow on the people making this commitment. So, it sort of mitigates, where I painted the picture at the beginning that Moshe was the only one who had the presence of mind, to do this kindness to Yosef and fulfill his last wishes. It says that Moshe is doing it to fulfill a vow. Now, it's actually not a vow that he took; it's a vow that Bnei Yisrael took. But he is doing it because it was a commitment. That seems to, as I said, somewhat mitigate the greatness of what Moshe is doing here. All right, folks, if you're not muted, please mute yourself because I hear things going on in the background. Please feel free to unmute yourself if you want to speak up. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi, isn't it possible when they say Moshe took the atzmot that he was taking the essence of Yosef with him, which would permeate the all of Klal Yisrael?
Good. So that would be a perfectly good answer. And the question is, that would be a perfectly good explanation of what Moshe is doing here when it says that he took the Atzmos Yosef imo. But it doesn't answer the question of why he's doing it ki hashpeah hishpia, because it was a vow, right? So why is it only that Moshe had the presence of mind? So let's dive into this a little bit. We're going to begin with a Rashi here. Okay. Rashi says the following, and again, I'm sorry, I cannot easily put it on your screen for you today. Rashi says the following, Hashbeah Hishbia. One second.
He swore to his children. He made his children swear.
Right.
I don't know if he made the whole Bnei Yisrael swear to it.
Right. So it's the whole people. So here we go. Hashpeya hishpia. Hishbiam sheyashbiu levneihem. Says Rashi that he made the brothers take a vow that they would continue this commitment generation to generation. The lamalo hishpiu banav shiyasi uhu laeretz kinaan miyad kimo shehishpia Yaakov, and why didn't he ask to immediately be brought to the land of Israel, just like Yaakov when he died? He didn't say at some point in the future bring me to Eretz Yisrael. He says when I die I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So why didn't Yosef make a similar demand on his brothers, on his nephews, on his children, just like Yaakov did when he was about to die? Amar Yosef, Yosef said to himself, Ani shalit hayisi b'mitzrayim. I was the ruler of Egypt. V'haya sipek biyadi la'asos, and it was entirely within my capability to do so. I could very easily had myself interred in Israel. Aval, banai lo yanichum mitzrayim la'asos l'kach, my children would not necessarily be allowed to do so. Lekach, therefore, hishbiam lekishiyigalu v'yetzu misham shiyasiyuhu. In other words, what he's saying is, I could have asked my children to do so, and I could have made this happen, but my children, if I just told them what I wanted to do, they would not have been permitted, in all likelihood, by the Egyptians to take my bones out of Mitzrayim, because I was, such an important figure in Egypt. But if I tell my children that it's a vow, then even the Egyptians would honor a vow. Even the Mitzrayim, again, before the terrible persecutions began, even they would, even if they wanted to keep my bones, as a shrine in Egypt, because it was the great ruler of Egypt, but a vow they would honor. V'halisa metzav smosai mizeh yudchem. And Rashi continues, le'echav hishbia, to his brothers he had them make this vow, lamadshu she'af kol atzmos kol hashvatim he'elu imahen. And Rashi says, based on the Medrash, that it wasn't just Yosef, but it was really all of the brothers that that their bones would be taken out. Okay, so we haven't really gotten to the essence of it yet, but what is clear is one thing that so far, and that is that this vow of taking his bones out was not just something that he was going to leave to chance. Right? He was not going to just allow. He wasn't just going to allow it to happen. Even though he was the ruler of Egypt, he was the ruler of Egypt, but he wasn't going to leave it to chance. This was really, really, really important. So, what's so important for Yosef that he be taken out of Mitzrayim? And here we get to sort of a pshat answer and a drash answer. The pshat answer could very well be that that there is a zchus, there is a merit to be buried in the land of Israel. Right? Even ad hayom hazeh, people die, they want to be buried in Israel. Okay. There's pshat, remez, drash, so. There are multiple layers how the Torah can be understood. And on a deeper layer here, what I think Esther was getting at, I think is correct, that there was an important need for Klal Yisrael for him to be taken out when they would leave Egypt. In other words, not beforehand. Vayikach Moshe satzmos Yosef ki hashbeah hishbias bnei Yisrael. He made them take a vow that in the future, when they would come out of Mitzrayim, that's when his bones should be taken out. So there's something important about Yosef accompanying the people when they leave Egypt. So what is that really important thing? So here I want to share with you I'm going to try to put it on my screen. It's not going to work. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to put it on my screen. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, it'll be fine. But a wise person takes mitzvos. So the Gemara is saying that there's a point counterpoint over here. Vayikach Moshe Satzmos Yosef. Moshe takes the bones of Yosef. And Bnei Israel were the ones that were given the Shavuah. So why is it Moshe? Why, like, what's the contrast here? So the Gemara says, Moshe was the wise person, Chacham Lev, because he was smart enough to seize the opportunity to do a mitzvah. And the mitzvah was to fulfill the vow that they had taken all those generations earlier and passed down generation to generation to remove the bones of Yosef. Shekol Yisrael asku babiza. All Bnei Yisrael were doing what at this time? They were running to their Egyptian neighbors and taking the gold and silver and all the stuff. Remember Hashem told them, you know, on this last day, you know, you should go out and you should take the gold and silver from the Egyptians, and on your way out of Egypt. Indeed, about 10 years ago, there was a minister in the Egyptian government who suggested that Egypt should sue the state of Israel for something like $500 billion, because it says in the Bible that the Jews looted all this stuff, you know, from the ancient Egyptians. And so therefore he did a calculation and he figured out it was some astronomical sum. And, so they wanted to sue the state of Israel. And it never went anywhere. Nevertheless, that's what Bnei Israel were doing at this time. And Moshe, by contrast, he was doing a mitzvah. Shekol Yisrael asku babiza, v'hu ba'atzmos Yosef. Everybody else was taking gold and silver, and he was worried about the bones of Yosef. Now, that sounds like a nice Musar shmuz, and a very good point, but does this really redound to Moshe's credit? Moshe was doing a mitzvah, and guess what? Bnei Yisrael were also doing a mitzvah. Af al pi shegav habiza haisa al pi mitzvahs Hashem. Hashem also told them to do this. This is also a mitzvah. So why is Moshe lauded and extolled for being a chacham lev, a wise person seizing an opportunity to do a mitzvah, as opposed to those petty Jews who are out there taking gold and silver? No, that was also a mitzvah. How is this a striking contrast? And the answer, says Rabbi Sirotskin, is because they're mitzvahs and they're mitzvahs. There's like the mitzvah of having kiddush on Shabbos. That's one kind of mitzvah. Then there's a mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. That's another kind of mitzvah. There's some mitzvahs that are easy for us to do because we feel good and they redound to our benefit, right? And there are other mitzvahs, and we would do those mitzvahs even if they weren't commanded. Like, you know, if Shabbos were a day off and there was no mitzvah to have a meal, maybe we would have a nice big meal anyway. It's enjoyable. Who wouldn't, right? Now, there are other kind of mitzvahs, like fasting on Yom Kippur, which is hard and a sacrifice. And I wouldn't do it necessarily unless Hashem commanded me. Or, for example, giving tzedakah. Maybe I wouldn't dig down deep into my pocket and give tzedakah were it not a mitzvah. There are mitzvahs and there are mitzvahs. And here, Bnei Israel, at this moment of time, there were two mitzvahs that had to be done. One mitzvah, which coincidentally, I get to get rich off of. And another mitzvah, which I don't get anything out of, at first blush anyway. All Bnei Israel chose to do the mitzvah that they happened to benefit from. Moshe chose to do the mitzvah, which is purely altruistic. And that's what Rabbi Sirotskin says. Yesh ba afal pi shegam habiza haisal pi mitzvah Hashem, aval yesh ba gam pinia atzmit. There is self-dealing involved here. Not self-dealing, There's a, you know, you benefit from it.
Aggrandizement?
And not aggrandizement, but when you do something that redounds to your own benefit. You know, you have personal interest here. That's it. You have self-interest. So pnia atzmit, there's self-interest here. So I can say, oh, I'm doing a big mitzvah of Hashem. Maybe so. But it's a mitzvah that I happen to be self-interested in. That I have self-interest in. Masha enken ha'atzmos b'yosef atzmo, when it comes to b'atzmos Yosef, when it comes to Yosef's bones, you know, I don't get anything out of that other than fulfilling a mitzvah. And not that there's nothing in that, but I don't have self-interest, right? Umilvadze halo hishbia Yosef as b'nei Yisrael ha'kachas atzmos av itam. And not only that, Yosef did, you know, to have the B'nai Yisrael take a vow. U'bishvua ne'emar lo yinakeh. So, you know, this is a big deal. So on one level, there's a point counterpoint here. That B'nai Yisrael, as they're leaving Mitzrayim, it's like the first test, and they sort of fail this first test. Right? The first test is going to be, you know, I don't know if they failed or not, but it's definitely a test. And Moshe Rabbeinu shows them the way. And this is reminiscent of another time back in Sefer Bereishis, when the brothers of Yosef acted in a way which could either be described as noble, like doing a mitzvah, or just doing something for their own personal self-interest. And that is the story of Shechem and Hamor. You remember that when Shechem raped Dina, and Shimon and Levi proceeded to go in and wipe out the people of Shechem, the whole city. And there's a debate back and forth. Yaakov takes him to task. They say to him, you know, we were acting only in the most noble of fashion, most noble of intentions here, on behalf of the honor of our sister. But were they really acting out of the most noble intentions? There was a lot of self-interest there. And we see that tested in the next parak in Bereishis. When they have a sibling who is in a weakened position, and instead of coming to his defense, the brothers conspire and they sell him, and they basically throw him down to Egypt. So here you had a perfect test case. The brothers here had a difficult situation with their brother. And if they really were so noble and so high-minded, then, you know, they should have, when it came to Dina, well, maybe they should have been so a little more noble and high-minded when it came to Yosef. But the fact that when there was no self-interest, they had no problem selling their brother down to Egypt, some of Farshim commentaries indicate, that that is an indicator. They say that this is an indicator that when the brothers went in to wipe out Shechem, they weren't acting out of noble intentions, but rather just out of self-interest. Because when you pull the self-interest out of the equation, they kill their brother. So, you know, so it's not always easy to know. You know, this is good fodder for the psychologist's couch. Are you acting, you know, what are your true intentions over here? And so the brothers of Yosef, you know, have an open-ended, sort of an open-ended story. And I would suggest that when Moshe takes Yosef's bones out of Egypt, this is a story coming full circle. Shimon and Levi were the two brothers who wiped out the people of Shechem. And the brothers as a whole, but Shimon and Levi in particular, claim, Hachazonah, are you going to allow our sister to be treated like a harlot?
And Moshe was from Levi.
And Moshe is from the tribe of Levi. So here is a final tikkun. This is like a fixing, a tikkun. Shevet Levi, right? Levi, I should say. Levi acted with arguably ambiguous intent when it comes to Dina. When it comes to Yosef, the fact that there is no self-interest and self-interest is taken out of the equation, they act terribly to their brother. That could very well indicate that they really weren't acting with self-interest, with noble intentions when it came to Dina either. And so therefore you have this hanging out over the generations. It's hanging over the brothers. And even though they came and, you know, Yosef says, you know, God, you intended one way, God intended another thing, so we're all well and good. But now, Moshe, through Sheva, as a representative of Shevet Levi specifically, and as a representative of Klal Yisrael, I feel it's like this final tikkun, a final repairing of the relationship. There is no self-interest here of taking the bones of Yosef out. In fact, we should really be just focusing on taking the gold. That's also a mitzvah. And in that mitzvah, I get to become rich. No. Moshe goes and he takes the bones of Yosef in order, bedafka, to say, there is no, I'm not going to get rich off of this. Klal Yisrael is not getting rich off of this. We're going to sacrifice here and we're going to take your bones out because it's the right thing to do. We didn't act properly when there was no self-interest all those years ago. Now there is self-interest to do a different mitzvah, and we could very well be defended by doing that other mitzvah. Moshe says, no. I have two mitzvahs in front of me. One where there's self-interest, one where there's altruism. And I'm going to choose the mitzvah of altruism. And in this moment, it's a teachable moment for Klal Yisrael, a teachable moment obviously for the reader, but it's also, I feel like, a very tender moment of reconciliation with the brothers of Yosef and Yosef. And as you saw in you know, Rashi, or as I mentioned in Rashi at the beginning, he says, he should be Lamadnu sha'af atzmos kol hashvatim ha'elu imahen. According to Chazal, the bones of all the brothers were taken out. The bones of all the brothers were taken out. Moshe, according to the Gemara and Sota, Moshe takes Yosef's remains, and the rest of the people were occupied with quote unquote taking the valuables out of Egypt. And therefore, I'm actually just reading here out of the art scroll. Moshe exemplifies the dictum of the wise heart takes the mitzvos. So I think that there's that this is a very pregnant point here that the Torah is making for us. Okay, I want to share with you now a second layer. That's all one layer here. A second layer. And that is that.
Can I say something, Rabbi?
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe if I'm correct, that they were trying to sell Yosef also for money. Am I not correct?
Chazal say they sold him for a pair of shoes. Yeah.
It wasn't the money, like money.
Yeah, in other words, the equivalent of a couple of bucks.
That's what you just said. You told them, we don't want to kill him. We want to get money just to make sure that they wouldn't kill him, right? Something like that.
Not exactly. So but at the end of the day, yes, they sold him for money. So you're pointing out that over here,
they're also after the money. I'm just saying something. It's also a money way.
Right.
It's interesting.
Right. Okay. So I want to get to another layer here, and that is this is something that Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, and he says, you know, if you think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu Yosef asks his brothers and Bnei Israel to take him out of Egypt. Why did he make them swear? Why did he make him take a vow? I mean, and wouldn't Moshe have done this even without the vow all these years later? Isn't there a debt of, you know, some debt to, you know, to be paid? Isn't there an understanding that that Yosef was a, you know, was a great tzaddik, right? Why did they why did Yosef require a vow to be taken? All right, we saw one explanation about, you know, that maybe the later generations wouldn't be able to, and okay, but I want to read to you something from Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is in his English translation of the Darash Moshe. He says that this passage is not intended to tell us about Moshe's mitzvah, about why Moshe did or didn't do the whole thing that we just spoke about now, but rather to explain why did Yosef merit to have Moshe as the one who took him out of Egypt? Why Moshe? Why did Yosef have the zchus of Moshe? Hundreds of thousands of people. Why was it Moshe that took him out? Would Bnei Israel not have attended to Yosef if it had not been for Moshe? We're asking this somewhat tautologically, but I mean, is it really conceivable that not one Jew, had Moshe not taken care of it, nobody would have done it? Aaron? I mean, nobody? And if Yosef was so certain that he could rely on them, why did he have to make them take a, you know, take a vow? So, on the one hand, Yosef is certain that they're going to take him out. On the other hand, it doesn't seem like he's certain that he's going to take him out. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following. The answer is that Yosef was very humble. And it never occurred to Yosef that Bnei Israel owed him any gratitude or any debt at all for what he had done for them. He didn't see himself that way. He did what he had to do. He did what he was responsible to do. He did the right thing to do in saving his brothers and making sure that they had food and bringing them down to Egypt and putting them in Goshen and setting them up for success and putting them in a privileged position. Yosef didn't see that as something which demanded any type of of payback. Says Rav Moshe, it was his humility that made him feel that it was necessary to make them swear to attend to his remains. And that is the godless of Yosef. And that is why he has the zchus of Moshe being the one to attend to him. Because how is Moshe Rabbeinu described in the Torah? As Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble of all men. So Yosef, so this is how you read the pasuk. Vayikach Moshe satzmos Yosef. Moshe took the bones of Yosef out of Mitzrayim. Ki hashbeya hishbia. Because, not because he was bound by a vow, but because of Yosef's humility that made Yosef believe that the only way he could get this done is through making the people take a vow. Because otherwise, what his chayvus, what obligation do they have to him? They have no obligation. And they're going to have their own tsaras to deal with, and people could be forgiven for being just concerned about running out of Egypt and making sure that they have what they have. So Yosef says, so the Torah says, no, this is the godless of Yosef. His tremendous humility is what now gives him the zchus of the most humble of all men taking care of his remains. Yosef had the honor of having his remains personally transported by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who was equal to him in his humility, and who may very well, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, have learned this humility from none other than Yosef himself. So therefore, to get to Esther's point, and others have made this point, that the Chachamim say that Moshe took out the atzamos of Yosef, they took out the bones of Yosef, Moshe took out the atzmos of Yosef. He took out the essence of Yosef. In other words, Moshe Moshe took out the humility of Yosef. That's what Moshe bore into his own personality, this great sense of humility. And he put that in his own character. And indeed, he surpassed Yosef, right? Moshe's anav mikol adam. But it is this midah which Moshe took. So it has to be understood on two levels. On a pshat level, he took him out of he took his bones out. On another level, he took his bones out because out of a sense of responsibility and reuniting the brothers, doing this action which has no self interest as a tikkun for what Levi did all those years earlier, Shimon and Levi, what they did all those years earlier, acting out of a lack of nobility and how they acted with Yosef when there was no self-interest, they weren't so noble. Now Moshe, representing Levi and all of Klal Yisrael, is going to act in a very noble way when there is no self-interest. Okay. A third level here. And this is that, and this is the final point that I want to make. Also from Rabbi Sirotskin in the book in front of you. Moshe and Bnei Yisrael here are at a point counterpoint. Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael are both dealing with spiritual matters, in the sense that they are both doing mitzvahs Hashem. But clearly, Bnei Yisrael if we're going to be a little bit less than charitable, maybe they would have done this even if it wasn't a mitzvah, right? If they had the opportunity to take all this booty out of Egypt, even if it wasn't a mitzvah, maybe they would have done it anyway. And it's not such a it's not a condemnation of the people. It's a reflection of of normal human of the human condition. Right? Why wouldn't a person do a mitzvah that they also happen to benefit from? Okay. But Moshe Rabbeinu is adding something here, that there is a need for Yosef to come out, and maybe this is what Yosef understood. Ki hashpeya hishpia. Yosef understood all those years earlier. It wasn't good enough for him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That's not the point. The point is for him to go along with the Jewish people on their journey out of Egypt. So why was it important for Yosef to come along with the Jewish people out of Egypt? And here Rabbi Sirotskin tells us that there are three important benefits that Moshe understood and Yosef either intuited or understood as well. And so let's do each one of them. Aleph. Ha'umos lo rotzu lekabelas ha'Torah. Let's start from over here. Herachnu levaris harav tova. We have explained the great benefit of Yosef's bones coming out and journeying with the people when they come out of Egypt. Shehayat safun ba'atzmos Yosef liYisrael b'midbar. There was something really deep and powerful and profound, sort of encapsulated and buried within, deep in Yosef's bones, that would be valuable for the people to have as a demonstration, as a model, as a point of inspiration, as they are leaving Egypt and taking their journey in the desert. And what is that? What is so valuable about Yosef that would be a point of great inspiration to the people? Nas Pirkpo Achadim Mehem. I'm going to just give you a few of them, says Rabbi Sirotskin. Aleph. Ha'umo shalorotzu lekabel es ha'Torah b'tayna shehi neged teva ha'adam. If you remember the Medrash that says that before Hashem brought the Torah to Bnei Israel, he went to the Umos Ha'olam and he said, do you want the Torah? And they said, well, it says Lo Tirtzach, we're into Lo Tirtzach. Went to another, it says Lo Tinaf, we're into Lo Tinaf. It is in our nature to do X, Y, and Z, and the Torah is limiting our natural inclinations, and therefore we do not want to accept the Torah. This is a midrash. Shehi neged teva ha'adam, because the Torah counteracts the natural impulses of the human being. she'enu mesugal lehiskaber al tavoso, and they felt that either they didn't want or they weren't able to overcome their natural impulses. The nation that is involved in Retzach, in murder, the nation that is involved in Gilei Arayos, the nation that's involved in Avodah Zarah, that's all our natural impulses, and we either can't or don't want to overcome that. Asu Rosham al Bnei Israel. These nations in which Bnei Israel had been living for hundreds of years made an impact on them. Ela Shabau Atzmos Yosef v'tafchu al Pneihem. And so therefore, Yosef's bones, Yosef's presence, stands as a lesson, as a model for somebody who can overcome their natural inclinations. You, Bnei Yisrael, can do this. You can say Nasa v'nishma. And you know why you know that you can do this? Because look at your forebear Yosef. He did it. Let us remember the story of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. He had every reason and every bone and fiber in his body telling him, do it, do it, do it. But he overcame that. He overcame his natural impulse, his natural inclination. And just as Yosef did, look, Bnei Israel, to this leader. And therefore, bringing Yosef out of Mitzrayim, whether physically or spiritually, and using Yosef as this standard bearer for what it means to overcome one's own impulses, is a very, very significant and important educational message that Klal Yisrael needed to hear at this time. Because they had acculturated and if not totally assimilated to the nations around them. And this, of course, without much elaboration, is a clear message for the reader as well. Ubez Aronos, Aron Brisa of Aron Yosef, Shehaya Mahalchin Zeh B'tzad Zeh. And there were two, indeed in the Midbar, there were two crates that were taken. One had the luchos in them, and one had the bones of Yosef, right? That is to say, that you, Bnei Yisrael, can do it. You can do it because Yosef did it. Okay, so that's number one. There's another reason why it's valuable for Yosef to accompany the Jewish people in their trek in the desert. B'shal she'amru Bnei Yisrael tov lanu avodas Mitzrayim o nitna rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim be'emuna she'acharei hakavod shechilku lahem b'tzeisam yisnahi gatayim mayim ke'am anashim. When Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, you remember the stories just from the last few, from Shmos, and we're going to be reading it now and in the next few weeks, how Bnei Yisrael constantly complained. They complained, this is no good, that's no good, let's go back to Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in those moments, could point and say, listen, Hara lahem Moshe al Aron Zeh, he could point to Yosef's casket and say, Re'u es hagmul, look at the payback that Mitzrayim did for Yosef. Shegamlul shehitzil osam mimisas rav, Yosef saved them from starvation. Ha'ashiris kol ha'medina, he made Mitzrayim wealthy. The afal pichein ha'evidu befarach es echav, va'afilu es banav. Shebo lagor b'Mitzrayim al pi hazmanas ha'melech. Look at Mitzrayim. You, Bnei Yisrael, you want to go back to Mitzrayim? Let me remind you who Mitzrayim is. Look at Yosef. We all know who Yosef was. We know the principal role that he played in saving Mitzrayim. We know the critical role he played in making Mitzrayim thrive. And these are the people, these are the very same people who knew exactly what Yosef had done for them and who chose to enslave Yosef's brothers and Yosef's children and Klal Yisrael. This is who you're going back to. The Eich Echshar Lahamin Lanoshim Kafui Tova Ha'ela. How can you put any... I'm sorry. And Bnei Yisrael, the brothers of Yosef, were invited by Melech Mitzrayim. They had everything going for them. And yet, look what ultimately devolves and how the Mitzrayim treat them. You, Bnei Yisrael, you want to run back to Mitzrayim? Before you get on your, you know, turn on your heels and run back to Mitzrayim, remember who you're running back to. Just look at the story of Yosef. So when we talk about taking Yosef's bones out, it's not just about fulfilling a vow, repairing the rift, a final repair of the rift in the family, but it's Yosef. But what Yosef represents? Yosef represents on one level. Yosef represents the ability to overcome one's impulses, a necessary character trait for what it means to be an Eved Hashem and accept the Torah. Number two, as a way to put a break when the people want to run back to the loving arms of their taskmasters in Egypt, this could maybe splash some cold water and help them see, you know, talk sense into them to realize what Mitzrayim is and not to romanticize what Mitzrayim actually was. And thirdly and finally, Yotzei Mitzrayim chashvu es atzman lavadim. The Jewish people, when they left Mitzrayim, they were scarred by hundreds of years of slavery. And in those hundreds of years of slavery, they incorporated and assumed the psyche of a slave. They didn't see themselves as equal to the Egyptians. They barely saw themselves as human beings. And they most certainly did not see themselves as royalty, as special. Yotzei Mitzrayim chashvu es atzman la'avadim. Bnei avdei olam. This is how it was, and this is how it will always be. V'zakvu ekomasam ha'kefufa rak lemare arono shel Yosef. And Yosef teaches them no. Lets them look themselves in the mirror and see something bigger. See something bolder. See that I'm not just a slave. After all, I'm the family of Yosef. And where did Yosef come from? Shelakhu Moshe mikapitolin shel melachim. Moshe took Yosef's bones from the burial grounds of the great kings of Egypt. V'shehayid lahem shehem b'nei melachim. And Yosef's presence attests to the fact that B'nai Yisrael are not slaves. B'nai Yisrael are far greater than that. And each and every Jew has to look at Arono Shel Yosef and realize the great capacity, the capacity for greatness that they have. They do not come from slaves, but rather they come from the great Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And this is what Yosef's bones remind them of. So when it says, Vayikach Moshe Satzmos Yosef, the Chazal tells us, the Medrash tells us, that Moshe took the essential Yosef, here for the people to see, to witness, to bear witness to, and to remind them of these three important messages that come from the life and the times of Yosef. And by having his, you know, casket, his bone, three-dimensional representation of Yosef amongst the people as they are leaving Egypt and through their trek through the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this is something extraordinarily valuable for the resilience and perseverance of Klal Yisrael at this time. So if we go back to our original questions was why did it, Pasuk says Vayikach Moshe Satzmos Yosef Imo. Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, ki hashbea hishbia, because Yosef made him swear. Why the double lashon here? Hashbea hishbia, he will surely swear, because this shvuah was really, really significant. It was significant, not because it was significant in all the ways that we you know, that we that we outlined. And it's not because, it's not just because the people needed it and Moshe needed it in order to do the job, but it also reflects about Yosef's own humility. He thought the only way that he could really, you know, he could impose on them is if they take it as a vow, because they don't really owe him anything much much beyond that. So in this moment of taking Yosef's bones out of Mitzrayim, I think we see a few important messages here. One is the tender reconciliation, final reconciliation of Yosef and his brothers, both in Moshe being the Levi, taking them out, as well as all the brothers coming out at the same time. They're now all finally together as one. And the importance of Yosef's presence that it could serve in so many ways to benefit the resilience and perseverance of Klal Yisrael in the variety of ways that we pointed out. And with that, we'll pause here. And Mirtz Hashem, if you have any comments or questions at this time, I'll be happy to take them.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Okay.
I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Paula.
I see Joseph's